thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
We're in week 5 of Multipliers versus Diminishers. I have the same color shoes on tonight. If you were here last week, I talked about what I called shoeology. And we discovered that one of the things that Jesus did in being the greatest multiplier in humanity is he engaged humanity in debate. Jesus was the greatest debater of all time. He said to his disciples, he's walking along one day. Imagine, picture this. So Jesus is walking along one day, and he turns to his disciples, and it's 18 months into his ministry with them, and he turns to them and says, hey guys, who do people say that I am? Well, some say you're John the Baptist, some say Elijah. And then, you know, as he's going on, you know, probably paused for effect somewhere in there, and he said, well, what about you guys? Who do you guys say that I am? And then Jesus begins this amazing debate. And so last week we talked about how Jesus was this great debater, and I wore two different color shoes. If you weren't here last week, I wore two different color shoes because I talked about the importance of walking in the shoes of Jesus, and that our shoes, most of the time, how many of you would agree with me? Most of the time when you put shoes on, you put a matching pair of shoes on. You raise your hand if you usually put a matching pair. Raise your hand if you always put a matching pair. So I was curious, the rest of you just not paying attention. I guarantee you, you don't go into your closet and just look for a left and a right. You look for the matching pair. And we looked last week at how important it is to make sure that our shoes, the shoes that we're putting on, walking in the footsteps of Jesus, match our lifestyle. And so we talked about how multipliers are great at debate. And we talked about that. Tonight I want to look at it from a little bit different lenses. And I want to talk about multipliers as investors. And again, we're going to look at it through the life of Jesus, how that Jesus was the greatest relational investor in humanity. And I want to ask you this question as we dive in tonight. Do you have a relational strategy? Probably most all of us in this room have an investment strategy for retirement. There's some sort of an investment strategy so that when we retire, the lifestyle that we want to maintain or hope to have, we have an investment strategy that's going to lead us there. What about a relational investment strategy? Because really, if you think about Jesus, the only thing that Jesus invested in life were people. His greatest investment strategy or plan was that of relationships with people. So what is your relational investment strategy? Because really, that is the only thing that's going to last. None of the 401ks, none of the houses, none of that is going to matter. The only thing that's going to last, isn't it true? The only thing that's going to last is relationships. So we should probably have a relational investment strategy. And so as I was studying this week, I thought, wow, this is amazing to me. So I want to share a few things with you. And right as we dive into, say there's a lot of Bible on the front page. Go ahead and say that. Say it again. There's a lot of Bible on the front page. There's no fill-in. It's just a lot of Bible on the front page. Here's why. We're going to start out tonight by reading the longest prayer in the Bible. It's the longest prayer in the Bible, and it was spoken by Jesus. So if Jesus put it in here, and Jesus was certainly not a narcissist, Jesus pointed always back to the Father, always wanted to bring glory to his Father. Why did he pray a prayer out loud that is the longest prayer in the Bible, and he wanted it recorded? There is so much truth in this prayer, and we're going to read this prayer, and we're going to extract things from this prayer, but I want to say this to you as we dive in, because I think when it comes to being a multiplier or a diminisher, if we are going to be a multiplier like Jesus, then we have to do it Jesus' way. And for the last 5 weeks, and I can't go back and just bring us up to date for the last 4 or 5 weeks. If you haven't been here, you need to just download what we've been talking about for the last several weeks, because in life, we are either multipliers or diminishers. And I shared with you very transparently the first week when we got into this. In my early years of growing up, I had great influence in my life by what I would call unintentional diminishers. People that diminished my life without even trying, they just didn't know any better. And so, unfortunately, if you found yourself in a pool of unintentional diminishers, you might not be in the place that God wants you to be. So Jesus comes on the scene and he becomes this model of what it means to be a multiplier. And we've been talking about that for weeks. But I just want to tell you about a term that really I've been thinking about a lot this week. And it's the term that they would use in law enforcement. And it would be an abbreviated term, but it would be, yeah, it would be FTC. FTC, failure to comply. I was thinking about that a lot yesterday. Failure to comply. You know, you can get in a lot of trouble if you fail to comply. Isn't that true? If you fail to comply with the law, you're going to get in trouble, right? Yeah, if you go through a red light, you break the law. Failure to comply is a big deal. Failure to comply with the word is a big deal. Would you agree with me? Failure to comply is a big deal. So I'm going to start by reading to you the longest recorded prayer in the Bible. And I want to make some observations, and I'm going to ask you to have a pen because I'm going to ask you to circle a lot of things on your outline. As I was reading through this tonight, I began to circle this, and I thought, wow, this is powerful, and it's important that Jesus said this. I want you to repeat a phrase with me, and then I'm going to read this. Know the what, show me the who. Say it. Know the what, show me the who. Say it again. Say it again. Say it a little louder. Know the what, show me the who. Know the what, show me the who. Say it two more times. Okay, keep that in mind. Know the what, show me the who. So Jesus' life on earth is getting ready to end. He's getting ready to go to be with the Father, and he wants to make sure that his disciples are as prepared and equipped as they can be. So here's what Jesus records as his longest prayer, the longest prayer in the Bible. After saying all of these things, Jesus looked up to heaven and he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so he can give glory back to you, for you have given him authority over everyone. So he's praying this out loud. Now imagine this. Jesus is praying this out loud and everybody around him, all of his disciples, can hear this. You have given him authority over everyone. He gives eternal life to each one you have given him. Circle that. Now get your pen ready because we're going to circle a lot of things. For you have given him authority over everyone. He gives eternal life to each one you have given him. Circle, you have given him. And this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work. Notice what Jesus is saying. Here's the what. I just ask you to say this phrase over and over. Know the what, show me the who. Jesus is saying right here, the what was that he completed the work. So Jesus is praying the longest prayer in the Bible, and he's declaring in this prayer that he completed the work that his Father told him to do. Here's what he goes on to say. I brought you glory here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Circle, you gave me. Now, Father, bring me into the glory we shared before the world began. I have revealed you to the ones you gave me. Circle the ones you gave me. I have revealed you to the ones you gave me from this world. They were always yours. You gave them to me. Circle, you gave them to me. I want you to notice a theme and some super important things that Jesus is saying here. Now they know that everything I have is a gift from you, for I have passed on to them the message you gave me, circle you gave me. They accepted it and know that I came from you, and they believe that you sent me. My prayer is not for the world, but for those you have given me, circle that, because they belong to you. All who were mine belong to you, and you have given them to me, circle you have given them to me. So they bring me glory. Now I'm departing from this world. They are staying in this world, but I am coming to you. Holy Father, you have given me, circle, you have given me, your name. Now protect them by the power of your name so that they will be united just as we are united. During my time here, I protected them by the power of your name. You gave me, circle you gave me. You gave me. Those you gave me, I protected them by the power of your name. I guarded them so that none was lost except the one headed for destruction, as the scriptures foretold. Now I am coming to you. I told them many things while I was with them in this world, so they would be filled with joy. I have given them, circle, I have given them, your word. The world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them that your word is truth. Now notice what Jesus says. Just as you sent me into the world, notice what he says, I am sending them into the world. And I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them so they can be made holy by your truth. I am praying not only for these disciples, notice Jesus' words here. I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you and I, as I am in the Father and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world believes that you sent me. This is Jesus' relational investment strategy right here. Jesus is saying, and he's praying the longest prayer ever recorded in the Bible. He knew the what. God, I have come and I have completed what you called me to do. And then he takes the next 25 verses in a prayer and he talks about, I have cared for those you gave me. I have taken care of those you gave me. Of those you gave me. Look at all of the times, those that you have given me, those that you have given me, those that you have given me. Jesus is talking about that. And what did he do all of his life? He took those that God gave him and he invested in them. He invested in them. Why did he invest in them? For what he says right here, just as you have sent me into the world, I am sending them. So when Jesus is praying this prayer, he's getting ready to go be with the Father. But he's praying this prayer out loud and he's using these words for a reason. The ones you've given me, the ones you've given me, the ones you've given me, over and over and over, repetitive, repetitive, repetitive. He knew the what. He knew the what. Show me the who. When Jesus came to earth, he gathered the who. He gathered those that the Father knew were the ones that he was to pour into. And we've been talking about that for the last several weeks. There was this group of 12, and then there were subgroups, but there was this group of 12. Jesus didn't have more than that. He spent 3 years with 12 people. Those were the ones you gave me. Of course, he had great influence in his 3.5 years of ministry, but those were the ones that the Father gave to him. And over and over and over, he repeats over and over and over, the ones you've given me, the ones you've given me. Why was it a prayer? I think as the disciples were listening to this prayer over and over and over in their minds, they were reminded of the ones you've given me, the ones you've given me. We know the what. The what is to complete the assignment. Wouldn't you agree? You are here for an assignment. If it was just about, and we've talked about this 100 times, if it was just about being rescued out of here, the moment that you gave your life to Christ, you'd be raptured out of here. But that's only part of the assignment. The other part of the assignment is, Lord, show me the who. Know the what, show me the who. You need to have a relational investment strategy. And I just want us to look at 3 things tonight that I think was the investment strategy of Jesus. And if we want to be multipliers, say, I want to be a multiplier. So if we want to be multipliers, and everywhere we go, we want to add value to people's lives, we need to be praying, show me the who. Jesus over and over and over was thanking God for the ones that he was given. There are people that come into your life. There are people that come into my life that are given to me. They're given to me for this reason, that I might add value to their lives, that I might pour into their lives, that I might be a blessing to them. That's what Jesus did. I'm giving my life, Father, for them, and not just for them, but just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them. Why? So that they will believe in me, what? Through their message. That's what Jesus said. So that they will believe in me through their message. So Jesus said, show me the who, when he was starting his earthly ministry. God, the Father showed him who those were. He gathered them around himself, and then his investment strategy was to pour into them. And that's what we need to be doing. So first fill in on your outline is this. Multipliers are investors. Multipliers are investors. That's what a multiplier is. Everywhere a multiplier goes, they invest. They invest in lives. They invest in teams. They invest in economy. They invest in culture. They invest, they invest, they invest. Why? What happens when you invest? There's returns. How many of you know there's risk in investing? There is great risk in investing in relationships. There's great risk. Jesus, the perfect God and the perfect man, had among the who a betrayer, didn't he? He had a Judas. Imagine that. Jesus, who is perfect, comes to planet Earth and he gathers the who. He knows the what. He knows the what. The what is, I came to give my life. And he lived it out. And the way that he did it is he said, okay, I need a relational investment strategy so that they, Father, will believe in the message even when I'm gone. That's the same message that's true today. And he was a multiplier and he had an investment strategy. But even in that, there was risk. When you choose to be a multiplier, I'm going to tell you for sure there's risk. There's always risk. You're going to get taken advantage of. People are going to betray you. People are going to disappoint you. They did to Jesus, but Jesus never strayed because he knew the what and he said, show me the who. And that's that needs to be the cry of our heart, because multipliers are investors. Know the what and pray always, always. Show me the who. Show me the who. Who are they, Lord? So here's what we know about investing. And multipliers do this. They invest resources in themselves and in others. Multipliers invest resources in themselves and others. Jesus did that. What kind of resources did he invest in himself? Relationship with the Holy Spirit, relationship with his Father. A person that's going to be a multiplier, that's going to truly be an investor, they're going to invest resources in themselves. Are you doing that? Are you investing resources in yourself? Jesus often would get away to be with his Father so that he can invest in that relationship, so that when he came back, there were lots of things that he could deposit in other people. And this is just fascinating to me to look at this. Look at the definition of the word invest. To use, to give, or to devote time, of talent, etc. So if we're going to invest, we're going to use, we're going to give, or we're going to devote time, talent, etc., as for a purpose or to achieve something. That's what investing is. That's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus came to do. Jesus, I wrote this down on my notes. It's not on yours. Jesus was always pointing people to a preferred future. See, the preferred future for humanity is eternity with Jesus. That's the preferred future. But there's risk. You've got to take risks. Every investment you make on planet Earth, in life, there's always risk. It's certainly true in our lives, but if we want to be multipliers and not diminishers, then we've got to make relational investments. And that's what Jesus did. And that's why he constantly in the last prayer, and I believe he echoed it so that those words would pound into the hearts of the disciples. Those you've given me. Those you've given me. If you just look at the outline and how many times you circled it and how many times you highlighted it, Jesus didn't forget what he said the sentence before. It wasn't that he forgot what he said, but he was for emphasis saying, those you gave me, those you gave me. You need to be saying that. I need to be saying that. I need to be saying, I know the what, which is to bring you glory. That's what Jesus said. The what was to bring you glory and to complete the assignment that you sent me to do, Father. Show me the who. And that's what Jesus did. Show me the who. So I'm going to give you three practices of an investor, and I just want you to write them down in your outline. Three practices of an investor. And as an investor, it means you're a multiplier. Number one is the investor establishes ownership. The investor establishes ownership. How do we know? I took the ones you gave me. That's what Jesus said. I took the ones you gave me. You gave them to me. They're mine. That's what Jesus said. They're mine. When you choose to be a multiplier, in your mind, in your heart, you have to be intentional about saying, they're mine. Your children, your mate, those people that you get the privilege of investing in and multiplying, you've got to have that attitude that they're yours. Jesus brought them into your life so you can multiply. What's the option? Diminish. Suck the life out of them. Suck the life out of them. Drain them dry. You've run into people like that in life, haven't you? You've run into the diminishers everywhere you go. They want to steal the thunder. They want to take all the praise. They want to take all of the accolades. They want to just steal, steal, steal. Sounds like the devil, doesn't it? Came to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Why? Because he was a diminisher. But investors establish ownership. If you want to be successful as a multiplier, establish ownership. And I'm not talking about control. I'm talking about ownership in the sense that they're mine. And I am going to pour into them, and I'm 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 going to be a multiplier in their lives. I will not diminish their lives. Now, that is an art and a science. Wouldn't you agree? It is not just a given that that happens. You have to be intentional about it. And Jesus was. That's why he's saying, you gave me the ones you've given me, the ones you've given me, the ones you've given me over and over and over. I keep coming back to what I thought about last night. I don't want to be accused and convicted of a failure to comply. Jesus modeled it. Jesus said, this is what I want you to do. I want people to know me. I want people to know my Father. And my investment strategy for my message staying alive and fresh is people. It's people. That's how it stays alive. And so imagine that Jesus had 12. And then he commissioned 70, 72, we know that. But I want you to imagine what Jesus did with 12. There's 7 or 8 times that many in this room right now. Imagine that. Imagine if we took this to heart, truly took it to heart, and you said, I know the what, show me the who. And you really just poured into the who. I found in my life that sometimes the who stay in your life for a year, sometimes 2 years, sometimes 5 years, sometimes a lifetime. We're not responsible for the time period of it. We're just responsible for ownership of it. I'm going to pour in, and I'm going to pour in, and I'm going to pour in because I want to be a multiplier. Say, I want to be a multiplier. Say it again. Okay, so John chapter 17, verses 6 through 10, we've already read it, so I won't read it again, but let me give you the bullet point underneath of that. So number one, the investor establishes ownership. The next fill-in is this. This is how. By being fully engaged but intentional about not taking over. By being fully engaged but intentional about not taking over. The amazing thing about Jesus was he let those that were his who make mistakes. He let them make mistakes. He let them get out there and trip and stub their toe, and he just let them do that. Why? Because he as an owner, he made sure they were fully engaged, but he wasn't controlling. Boy, that is tricky to be able to do. How do you take ownership of something that God has given you stewardship over without controlling it? You have to watch how Jesus did it. Could Jesus have done it better than the disciples? Of course. Jesus could have done everything better than the disciples, but often Jesus would stand back and he'd tell them, you go do it. You go do it. You go do it. They thought in their mind Jesus was going to walk with them until they died. He was going to take over the Roman Empire. That wasn't Jesus' strategy. His was a relational investment strategy. And as a result of that, he was fully engaged in their lives, but he didn't control their lives. Here's what I mean by that. This is not on your outline, but I wrote it on mine. Investors share ownership. Investors share ownership. Jesus was the owner, but the amazing thing was he shared it with his disciples. He was a great debater. He entered into debate with the disciples, and he shared that. And it wasn't at, and this is the amazing thing. It wasn't at the level of their capability. He always stretched them. Here's what multipliers do. Multipliers always see people further along than they see themselves. If you're a multiplier, your who may be living right here, but you as a multiplier, you see them up there 3 or 4 steps. And so as a multiplier, you say, okay, these are mine, And one of the ways that I'm going to share ownership with them is I'm going to speak into their lives, and I'm going to speak beyond what they can do right now and point to what they don't think they can do. That's what Jesus did with the disciples. And he was doing it through relational investment. It was brilliant. He wasn't afraid to own them. I'm trying to learn how to do this. I said to you 5 weeks ago, and I hope you believe me, because I sincerely mean this. I am learning how to do this. And as I'm studying this, I'm learning more and more. So I want to own the who. Not in a controlling way, but I want to own the who that are in my life right now. And I'm going to share ownership with them. I'm not going to lord over them. I'm not going to control them. I'm not going to manipulate them. I'm going to try to see them right where they're living, and I'm going to speak them 3 or 4 steps further than they're living right now. Because what? Then they're going to stretch, and then they're going to grow. Isn't that how God did it with us? Remember back to Matthew chapter 5. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. No, they weren't. They were not. They were no way near that. But Jesus said, that's where I see you. Oh, really, Jesus? Okay, then I guess I'll step out. So, investors establish ownership. Number two, the investor contributes resources to ensure success. The investor contributes resources to ensure success. What are the resources? Look at this in John chapter 16, just prior to John chapter 17, where we read this longest prayer. He's speaking to his disciples. Now I'm going away to the one who sent me, and not one of you is asking, where am I going? Instead, you grieve because of what I've told you. But in fact, it is best that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate, which is the Holy Spirit, won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father, and you will see him no more, and you will see me no more. Judgment will come because of the ruler of this world who has already been judged. There is so much more that I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. So Jesus, as the owner who knew the what and said, show me the how, that investor, that multiplier, Jesus, was contributing resources. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit who's going to empower you to continue to invest relationally. Why? Because I want you to be a multiplier just like me. Don't we want to be just like Jesus? Every time Jesus speaks into my life, he adds value. Sometimes he has to do this, and sometimes he has to correct me. Sometimes he has to steer me. Sometimes he has to direct me. But if we're truly investors, and these are practices of the investor Jesus, not only did he establish ownership by saying, the ones you gave me, but he contributed resources. What was the first thing that Jesus contributed to the disciples? Himself, right? He did life with them. For as long as he was here, he contributed the resource of himself. True or false? He contributed the resource of himself. So what is the greatest resource that you as a multiplier can give to people? You. Why? Because the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. God lives inside of you. So when you give yourself to the who, you are really giving them God. Theologically, that is exactly right on. Say, that's right on. Say, that's a bullseye. Say, that's a bullseye. Know the what, show me the who. Know the what, show me the who. That needs to be our prayer. Know the what, show me the who. Contribute resources. If you want to be a multiplier, give yourself. Give yourself. Just keep giving yourself. You will always have enough if you spend time with the Father. If you spend time with God, you will always have enough. You will never, the bank account, the trust account, it'll never run dry. So investors establish ownership and they contribute resources. I wrote this down on my outline tonight. It made sense to me when I wrote it down. It doesn't make sense now, but I'm going to read it to you anyway. I wrote it down about an hour and a half ago. You do best when you were doing what you do best. Isn't that brilliant? So profound. You do best, think about your own life. You do best when you are doing what you do best. Here's what multipliers do. Multipliers gather the who and they help them discover what they do best. That's what multipliers do. That's what Jesus did. He gathered the who. He already knew the what. The what was bring glory to God, accomplish his task. He gathered the who, and then he helped them understand what they did best by telling them what they did best. That's what Jesus did. Peter. It's an amazing thing. I want you to think about people that have been multipliers in your life and how they told you what you could do, even when you didn't believe you could do it. Right? How many of you have had people like that? Oh, I've had people like that in my life. Over and over and over and over. I want to be an investor. I want to be a relational investor. I want my account, my relational account, to just be huge. I'd like some other accounts to be huge. I'd like them to be bigger. How many? We'd like them to be bigger, right? But which account should be the biggest? The relational investment account, that should be the biggest one. So you're going to do best when you know what you do best. And if you don't know what you do best, get around some multipliers. Get around some multipliers. And let multipliers tell you what they see. Think about what that would be like if you just went up to people and you just begin to tell them what you saw in them. Think about what that's done to you and how that's changed your life and just the challenge that goes in that. And what you're doing when you do that is you're contributing resources. You're just contributing resources to their life that's going to help them to grow and be empowered to do all that God's called them to be and called them to do. If I would have stayed stuck where I was at 20 or 21 years old, believing all the things that the unintentional diminishers said about me, I wouldn't be where I am today. And all of us could say that. But you need to find out who your who are. Say that three times. Who are your who? Who are your who? Do you know? Remember, you've got big shoes to fill. We've got big shoes to fill. So, next fill-in. I'm almost done. Say good. Oh, I caught you there. You're not supposed to say good. Okay, so number two, the investor contributes resources. Here's what they also do. They provide backup to strengthen and support. They provide backup. That's what Jesus did. He didn't just say, go do it by yourself. He contributed or he provided and he strengthened and supported what they did. He's still doing that today. Jesus is strengthening and supporting what he's called you to do. He's not asking you to do it on your own. But what he is saying is, know the what and find the who. Know the what and find the who. Because if you want to be all that God wants you to be, hear me when I say this. If you want to be all that God wants you to be, you better find the who. You better find the who, because you are not doing life independently. If you are, you're not doing it to the highest level. You are never called to do life independently. You need the church. Remember, he said it to us last week, Josh McDowell said, you need the church. He went as far as to say Jesus wasn't enough. He said, Jesus wasn't enough, you need the church. Jesus said, I'm going to build the church. It's my idea, it's my brainchild. I'm going to build the church and the gates of hell aren't going to prevail against it. And by the way, you're part of the church. You might be the shoulder, you might be the elbow, you might be the foot, you might be the toe, you might be the nose, but you are the church. You are the church. And so you've got to get your who if you want to be all that God's called you to be. Ask someone. I want you to take this challenge. Sometime in the next week, ask one or two people to tell you what they think you do best. Ask somebody. Ask two people. Ask three people. What do you think I do best? That is not an arrogant thing to do. That is a wise thing to do. Ask somebody that you trust. What do you think I do best? And maybe you'll be surprised. Maybe you won't be surprised. Maybe it'll just be a confirmation. But that's meant to strengthen and support what you're called to do. Because here's what I know. You do best when you are doing what you do best. I do best when I'm doing what I know that I'm called to do. Don't you? Say, I do. Say, I do. Listen, it's only 7:45. I have 5 more minutes. So, we do. Thank you. Christina, thank you. Christina, I appreciate that you're with me. Thank you. Okay, number three. Say, give me number three. Number three. Investors hold people accountable. Investors hold people accountable. Jesus held people accountable. He said, those you've given me, those you've given me, those you've given me. I told them, 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 and now they're going to go do it. They're going to believe in me through the message. Peter had to learn to hold himself accountable. Why are all these stories in the Bible about Peter? Because there came a time for Peter when he had to hold himself accountable. Yeah, I did deny Jesus. Sure did. Sorry, Jesus. No problem, Peter. But he had to hold himself accountable. Jesus held himself accountable to what? To the what? I have brought you glory. I've done what you've called me to do. Jesus held himself accountable to the will of the Father. And Jesus was the greatest multiplier in humanity. So if Jesus was the greatest multiplier in humanity, then and he held himself accountable, then I should hold myself accountable. What do I hold myself accountable to? First of all, the what? To bring you glory. I'm going to hold myself accountable to that, God. I'm going to bring you glory. But also to the who. You need to hold yourself accountable to the who in your life. Raise the standard of your accountability to the who in your life, and you will be a magnificent multiplier. It will just happen. It will flow out of your life. Now, we don't necessarily get this the day we get saved. I've been walking with the Lord for 30 years, and I'm learning so much about this. So much about this. And I'm thinking, I thought maybe I was doing better than I was doing, Lord. Maybe I've got about a 6th grade education in multiplier. But I want to have a 7th grade, and I want to have an 8th grade, and I want to have a college degree, and eventually I want to have a PhD, and eventually I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus, and I want to be a multiplier, and I'm going to bless people. And I don't know how big your pool of the who is. I'm not sure how big it is. But I know it's the right size for you. It's the exact right size for you. Because the greatest multiplier of all time already knows who your group is. And he's going to test and he's going to hold you accountable to how you're investing in their lives and how you're multiplying in their lives. He's going to hold you accountable to it. Why? Jesus held himself accountable to the will of God. How do we know it? Longest prayer in the Bible. God, I did what you told me. The ones you gave me, the ones you gave me, the ones you gave me. I did what you said. I did what you said. I held myself accountable. I don't want to get a failure to comply from the Lord. Blake, why didn't you comply? Why didn't you comply with the who? It's not enough just to comply with the what, to bring you glory. I don't believe you can do one without the other. Jesus did them both. And if Jesus did them both, then we've got to do them both. And I'm not saying I'm going to do them perfectly, but I want to bring you glory. And get this, one of the greatest ways that you bring glory to the Father is when you multiply your who. Think about that. How did Jesus bring the greatest glory to his Father? He multiplied the who, right? Didn't he say that? Didn't he say, just as you sent me into the world, I'm sending them into the world, and I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them? I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for those, all those who will ever believe in me through their message. That's big stuff. That's big stuff. So I've got to hold myself accountable. So Jesus dies. He's buried. He comes back from the grave. And Peter's beating himself up. Peter feels horrible. He blew it. He denied Jesus. So here's this discourse with Peter and Jesus. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." I can just imagine the passion that was in his voice. Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." That was his who. "Feed my lambs. Feed my lambs." Oh, the ownership of that. "I'm going to be gone, but you feed my lambs." The ownership in that. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. I wonder if, you know, a lamb is a baby, right? Sheep is growing up. I wonder if part of the revelation in here from Jesus was, get your who when they're young and grow them up. Get your who when they're young and grow them up. Feed my lambs, but feed my sheep. So start when they're young. Start when they're young in the Lord. Start when they come into your life. Take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said it again, feed my sheep. Did Jesus think that Peter forgot? I don't believe it. I think what Jesus was doing was keeping the main thing all the time. The main thing is feed my sheep. Who are the sheep? It's the who. It's the who. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself. You went where you wanted. But when you were old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you don't want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death that Peter would have, which would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Follow me. What was he saying? Jesus wasn't going to be on earth anymore. How could he follow him? By fulfilling the longest prayer. The ones you've given me. The ones you've given me. Know the what. Show me the who. I'm praying that. I just popped into my brain today, earlier today, and I wrote it down. Know the what, show me the who. I'm going to pray that the rest of my life. I know the what. I know the what. The what is to glorify you. Show me the who. And the way that I'm going to glorify you is by being a multiplier in the who. Isn't that the way it is? I mean, it's all here. So what? Here's what I have to do. I have to have a relational investment strategy. And the way that I would do that, and this would be my challenge as I close. And here's what Jesus did. When he said, follow me, here's what really he was doing. Multipliers who are investors give people responsibility and they expect results. That's what multipliers do. They give people responsibility, but they expect results. Jesus expected results. John chapter 21 is about feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. What did he do? He gave them a great responsibility, but also attached to that responsibility was he expected results. Feed them. Feed them. Feed them. That's what multipliers do. Multipliers feed people wherever they go. So I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.